Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Station, if you want to establish a constructive and proper relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, You're tired of leaning to your own understanding. You're tired of people telling you the who, what, when, where, and how. And you simply want to be told the truth. You want to get to the bottom of the matter, the core of the apple, so to speak. Where you tune in to the right show. We study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We give you a bird's eye view, critical analysis, and assessment, leaving no stone or leaf unturned, crossing every T and dot, every I. And we strongly encourage you after each show to burn the midnight oil, meaning study for yourself in context. Start with the skip to the loop study that your enemies have told you to approach this. You cannot approach this the way your enemy tells you to understand your creator, your almighty. How ludicrous that sounds. You know, this your God, study him this way. You'll find out a whole lot about him, but they don't know nothing about him. Stop with that approach. Study the Most High in context. Study the Most High in continuum. And study the Most High bringing all these stories together in context. Because they're all synchronized in context, truth be told. So if you want to know about the Most High, and you want to know about life in general, let us tell you this. We've come to the understanding through our understanding of the Most High in our studies. We've been subscribed wisdom and understanding as a result. With that wisdom and understanding, it has come to our attention that everything in life is codified. All the animals, all the creeping, crawly things, all the birds that fly, all the things that swim in the seas and oceans and lakes and waters, they have their own codification process. You'll never see a big old killer, a whale, acting like a porpoise. And you'll never see a porpoise act like a killer whale. They know who they are, what they are, and what we should be doing, or they should be doing. But in the case of us, we don't know who we are, what we are, and what we should be doing because we refuse codification. We want to continue with the nonsense and the foolish approach of doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That's why we are uncodified. That's why we are unapproachable to the Most High, because we want to come to the Most High with this attitude, this bad monstrosity of an attitude, unhumble attitude. Well, take me as I am. The Most High ain't got to take you as anything. He ain't got to take me as I am. I better come right and come correct. And once I came right and correct, I better start doing some good. And stop doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's how you would get connected with the Most High and maintain your connection. The most important relationship you should ever come to understand in your life. He knew you before your mothers and fathers did. Even though they were a spark in their eyes, you was just a spark in your mom and daddy's eye. But he knew you from your very conception. And learn to obey the Most High. Bless his holy name and praise him. My soul and everything that is within me, and I pray that you feel the same way. And that's another reason why I get here. And no, we are not your special leader. We're just spokespersons for the Most High, as you should be. Hell, it's hard to get out of the bed sometimes. Who are we going to leave? No, we ain't no many splendid thing. We just try to scribe to the Most High and get the best out of him we can. And you know, the study we're about to approach gives you some insight on when you're humble to the Most High. How, when all your enemies are at you, and boy, they riding high on the hog, and I really mean hog, and they got it going on. And the final analysis, you stay codified with the Most High on point. They may, your enemies may not get out of it. But in the case of Jeremiah, he certainly did. And he didn't forget the people that helped him in the process. You know how some of us are? We have a hard time and somebody comes to our aid and whatnot. And as soon as we get out of that trouble, we just as soon as we forget them. Jeremiah was a man of character and quality. He definitely a man that's dedicated to the Most High. To those who did for him, he did for them. But you may be asking yourself, Yom Suf, you talk about the we, who are you making reference to? See, I'm a student host. I host this show. And I have other student hosts also that works with me on this study. And Sister Avia from New York City. Sister Avia, she's our gatekeeper, so to speak. She keeps us on point. And she keeps us on point. And Sorry for the interruption in the calling. And people that ain't got nothing to say, they want to call you at the wrong time. They act like you're supposed to stop everything you're doing, like you ain't got nothing going on. That's how some folks is too. And they knock on your door, won't you stop everything? I can't stop everything. And I won't stop everything I'm doing, especially in view of the Most High. Answer no call. All day long, ain't nobody calling. Now they come a calling. Don't come a calling on my time. I'm working for the Most High on my time. Boy, these folk never cease to amaze. My apologies. Sister Abby out of New York City. As I said, as I mentioned, she's our gatekeeper. She keeps us on point, straight and narrow. You know, we're elders. Sometimes we get into a tangent and we digress and we wander off the reservation. She has say, no, young Sylvia, you're wandering around looking in the sky. No, you're supposed to be over here on point. In check right here, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi has a strange, wonderful way of explaining the Most High to you, using her personal experiences and observations and the Most High word as a template and putting it over there and say, see, it don't supposed to be over there. It's supposed to be over there. And this template says so according to the Most High. And contrary, our friend and brother from New York City, we call him the expert guy, so to speak. Oh, we all subscribe to expert. So he's a little bit more ahead of the curve. Why? Is it something special? No, contrary, ain't nothing special. He'll tell you that himself. He's humble to the Most High. He's just been studying a little bit longer, which puts him a little bit ahead of the curve. And he's able to bring some things together to your understanding. You say, wow, man, that was so simple. Why didn't I see it? Because he saw it through his life experience and an observation. When he was a 14-year-old, he was having personal trouble. He could have let it all hang out and been gone for us, not be here, but he leaned on the Most High. He trusted in the Most High, and there he is today. And also, when he was a young man going into the work environment, he started as a carpenter. And literally, he expected he had to do those big old high-rises, 13, 14, 15, 20-some feet up high. I don't know how far they go, but they're real high. Cadrell, he'll tell you, I had a fear of heights. There again, what did he do? Did he call his mama, sister, brother, any other? No, he called on the Most High. And the Most High solved his problem for him. See, by experience or observation, puts him a little bit ahead of the curve. Just a little bit. But we've come to depend on it. We hope you come to depend on it, too. So let me introduce them to you, okay? Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom, your mic is hot.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, sister.
Y'all is so good, and y'all know it. Look at this. He done gave us another day and a beautiful evening to come back together. All praises and glory to Yah. I'm so glad to be there.
Hallelujah. You said a mouthful there. And I can't edit anything to what you said. Good to have you back. All right, Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Well, thank you, and I thank the Most High. But take the strange out when you introduce me.
take the what out?
Take the strange out when you introduce me. I've been in this world for 35 years. You said strange, but wonderful.
I didn't say you were strange.
I didn't say it. I was strange. Just take it out. You had me cracking up over here. Strange, but wonderful. Blah, 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 blah. I said, I've been in this world for 35 years. You funny. I'm not getting on you. I'm making a phone with you. You know, I got to pick with you. You make my day. How's your family and everybody?
Doing
and
well.
It's raining here, but I'm thankful.
Yeah, it was raining here. Right. All right, Sister Yehudi, thank you very much. Nat Cartrell from New York City, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. Bless you all my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Our Father, our King, our Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. How y'all doing?
All right, good.
Okay, my brother. Thank you very much. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Praise y'all. Got the breath of life. Woke up this morning. All I could do is get finished.
Praise y'all.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
With all that's going on in the world.
Let me reintroduce Sister Yehudi. Sister Hootie has a special and unique way of using the Most High Word as a template based upon a personal experience and observation. How you like them apples, sister?
For 35 years. I said 35 years.
I ain't saying all that.
Thank you,
Cartel. I ain't saying all that.
Yeah. No. Obviously, she wants us to know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for 35 years. But we
That's right.
We babies.
Yeah.
People before Noah was living 800, 900 years. We thought, wow, I got 85 years. I got 50 years.
That's right.
That's nothing.
I'm still a baby.
You're
still a baby.
Sit down 35 years and sit down somewhere, okay?
Nope, I'm still a baby. I'm proud 35 years.
God, yeah. I got 35 years. I got 35 years.
That's right. Praise the Most High.
Hey,
yeah,
listen,
yeah.
Listen. That's 35 years of a spiritual bank account, okay?
Exactly.
Raise your hands. You got 35 years of a spiritual bank account with Yah.
And I hope it's 35 more and more and more.
Yeah. So you got a lot to be proud of, Mama. 35 years is good. And yes, getting better and better all the time. You're getting closer and closer to the Most High all the time, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm gonna let her mention that in my introduction. And if she wants that, and I got 35 years, I'm gonna let her do that. Okay?
I knew he was gonna rub that in. I had to say something.
I love
you.
You
know,
too.
I'm the one got a light.
You know I
got to
mess with you. You know
That's
I got to
right.
mess with you. Cause we are one. It's made song. Okay?
We are family.
ABC boys, they don't like all this joy and gladness that we, you know, exuding here. We're supposed to be slaves.
Oh. Oh, God.
That's right.
Let our people go.
Yeah. King David.
Moses, way down in Egypt, land. Hello. Joe Biden.
To let my people go. Cartrell shared for us. King Dawood is not singing
sing
the blues. Why we got to sing the blues? You know what I mean?
No. Y'all should sing for joy. Sing for
right.
joy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Y'all coming for us. About
exactly.
to take us back. You better wake
exactly.
up. Y'all about to gather us and take us back. Joy and gladness all the way.
Like they say, there ought to be somebody here that know that y'all are so good.
Hallelujah. And I know the prophet Jeremiah knew he was good. You know, his whole demeanor. He didn't go around telling everybody, hey, the king and the prince, they don't like me. They got me in the dungeon and whatnot. He went to the one that could answer his prayers. He went to Yah, the Almighty, the Creator.
And he wasn't battling them on Facebook, was he?
No, he wasn't doing none of that. So y'all better get some study. Praise the Lord and bless his name. Let him direct God's steps so that we would not leave by our own understanding. And chapter 39, finally, in the continuum of our studies in context, the fall of Jerusalem. He had been telling his king the who, what, when, where, and how. But he refused to heed the Elohim. And his consequences, about to be some consequences now for our actions. For his actions, certainly if we continue to do as King Zedekiah did, puppet king of Yehuda, we'll find ourselves in the same shoes. In the ninth year of King Zedekiah of Yehuda, his reign, and in the 10th month of that reign, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, all his army came up against Jerusalem, besieged it. In 11 years of King Zedekiah, and his King Zedekiah's reign, and the 4 months. Now, from that time, 9, 10, it took him 11-something years, 3-something years to subdue Jerusalem. The city was penetrated. Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Nergal-Zarezah, Samgar, Nebo, Sar-Sikkim, Rapsaris, Nagal, Zarezer, Mag with the rest of the princesses of the king of Babylon. So it was with King Zedekiah, the king of Yehuda, and all the men of war saw this, that they tried to flee and went out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls. He went out by way of the plain, but the Chaldean army pursued him and overtook him. King Zedekiah in the plain of Jericho. Y'all know about Jericho, how we brought that city down, the walls of Jericho. And when they captured him, they brought him up to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in Riblah, the land of Hamath, Syria, where he pronounced judgment on him. The king of Babylon, in front of him, I gather, killed the sons of King Zedekiah before his eyes, as I said, and Riblah. Consequences. The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles, those princesses, who were against Jeremiah of Yehuda. Moreover, he put out King Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze feathers to carry him, and ashamed that he didn't want to get, but he got it, a double whammy of it, and carry him off to Babylon in total shame. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house, the houses of the people, with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, carried away captives to Babylon, remnant of the people who remained in the city, and those who defected to him, with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land the folk, who had nothing, and gave them, they worked out pretty well. He gave them vengeance and fields at the same time. Show compassion and love for our people. Some of us toward ourselves nowadays, we some sick puppies. We don't know how to show love for one another. But yet, here's the case in point of a stranger of a different nation exercising compassion and concern for the Yehudites. You didn't have much of anything. And Jeremiah gets his freedom. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. He knew about Jeremiah. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him, look after him, and do him no harm. But to do to him just as he says to you, treat him like the way he want to be treated. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, said, Nibut Shaban, Rasharias, Nogal, Sarizar, Rabak, Robag, and all the kings of Babylon's chief officers. Then they said, so I want to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison, take him out of prison, and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Hakam, the son of Shepha, that he should take him home. So he dwelt among the people. Meanwhile, the word of the Elohim had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, giving him the instructions how to treat folk, saying, go and speak to Nebuzaradan. You know, he got him out of the bad spot he was in, and Jonathan prison, where dire straits. The Ethiopian saying, thus said the Elohim of hosts, Yah of Israel, behold, I will bring my word upon this city for adversity, which I did, and not for good. They shall be formed in that day before you will see it, El Bet Malek. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Elohim, because of the kindness and concern and love he expressed toward Jeremiah. You know, here's the deal. If you're listening in and you may be one of the alphabet people that are monitoring our radio talk show, you have an option in your monitoring. You can go ahead and mistreat us, abuse or dominate us, and try to sometimes kill us. And often you do get away from it. But there are consequences and repercussions. And if you are inclined to be kind and treat us in proper fashion, you perhaps may get a just reward. See, you see what Elbet Malik, the Ethiopian, got some love expressed from the Elohim because of the treatment he treated toward Jeremiah. So be careful of the way you treat folks. It may come on you, good or bad. It's true. While you're listening in alphabet land, I will deliver you in that day, says the Elohim. And you may get delivered too. And you shall not be given to the hand of the men whom you are afraid. Now they gone too. For I will surely deliver you. And you shall not fall by the sword. But your life shall be as a prize. That's the prize you get for treating my folk right. That prize is your life. Because you have put your trust in me. Elbet Malik trusted in the Elohim. By virtue of his action, how he knew Jeremiah, the prophet, was being mistreated and abused by his own people. He brought it to the king's attention and had him brought out of that bad strait, of that bad prison, and described Jonathan's house. He said, because you have put your trust in me. Obviously, the Most High ain't lying. This man, he subscribed to the Most High. Although he was an Ethiopian, he subscribed to the Most High. And he knew what the right thing to do was not the wrong thing to do. And he did the right thing in the case of Jeremiah. And as a result, the prize he got was his life. While all around people died around him, Yehudites, while all around him his enemies were at him, but they got took out of the equation, he got a just reward. Praise God and bless his holy name. Katriel, Sister Hootie, Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your wife's heart.
The Cushites helped Jeremiah.
Exactly.
Because he did alert the king of all the things that were happening. They said because he was a eunuch, and he said, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have thrown into the dungeon. Mm-hmm. And he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, because there is no more bread in the city. So the king commanded the Cushites, the 30 of the men, and lift Jeremiah, the prophet, out of the dungeon, because he will die. And they did go in the house and get him. And we read earlier yesterday about he gave him the old clothes and rags under his armpits, under the ropes, and therefore he pulled Jeremiah up and the ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon.
Right.
So this Cushite was blessed by the Most High because he helped Jeremiah. And that's when Jeremiah said the word of Yah came over to him while he was shut up in the court of the guard saying, go and you shall speak to Malik the Cushite, saying, thus said Yah's Holy, Elohim of Israel, I am bringing my words upon the city, but evil and not for good, evil and not, because they transgress the Most High. And they shall be before you in that day. I shall deliver you in that day. And he's talking to the Cushite. And what you explained earlier, young Sue, because he held Jeremiah, Yah's prophet. And that is true today. We never know who we're going to entertain, who we're going to come communicate with. We should treat everybody the same as far as respect. I call it respect, or nice, or courtesy, because you never know. And we've all had that experience. Come on.
So you guys said a mouthful in regards to the lesson that we're reading tonight. Because we see that the Most High is not prejudiced, is he, against Hamites? Because the Cushite is a Hamite.
No.
And we see the rhetoric of our brothers and sisters that's waking up. They got this prejudice against Hamites. And y'all don't have that same prejudice that we have. Because if you're doing what's right and pleasing in the Most High's eyesight, it doesn't matter what nation you come from. And the Cushite Ethiopian that we're talking about, his nation is way older than our nation, right? So he could have leaned back on the teaching of the Ethiopians. Like, this is not what we do. We see y'all Israel, Judah, and, you know, Israel, what y'all doing. But this man was humble. This man had the right spirit, and he knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So even if you're a Hamite, which they try to say we are, we sub-Saharan Africans trying to claim Israel. Yeah, even if we're that, we claim the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like this Cushite did. And you know what's funny? When you go to these Western institutions, they don't teach us about the Babylonians, do they?
No.
They don't teach about the Assyrians, do they?
No.
They don't teach about the Medes and the Persians, do they?
No.
And you're talking about three empires that were way before the Greco-Roman Empire. But when you go to Western institution, they talk about the last empire, the Greco-Roman Empire. Plato,
right.
Socrates, Aristotle. Well, who was before them? You had three kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the Medes and the Persians. And you know why they don't talk about those three kingdoms? Because they were Asiatic black people. That's why. All you got to do is Google the Babylonians, and they look just like us.
Exactly.
All you got to do is Google the Assyrians, and they look just like us. All you have to do is Google the Medes and the Persians, and they look just like me and you. That's why the Ethiopian in the nation of Israel, or not the nation of Israel, but the nation of Judah, under the king Zedekiah, he has so much play. This Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, got audience with the king immediately, didn't he?
Right.
How you do that? How do you do that? You're Ethiopian. You're a Hamite. He got immediate attention from the king. And guess what? The king listened to his request. Listen, your prophet, your man of God, they got him in a pit, and you need to get him out of there ASAP. So this Ethiopian Cushite knew better than the king, because the king put him in the hands of these princes who got slaughtered by the Babylonians. And I'm sure they were going through deja vu. Damn, we should have listened to the prophet Jeremiah. It's too late now. That sword is coming in your body, Ak. It's too late to say, I would have, could have, should have. Right? All these princes that threw Yeremiah in the pit, guess what happened to them? The king of Babylon slaughtered them.
He refused to listen to the prophet.
The king who refused, King Zedekiah. The prophet Yeremiah told him what's going to happen to him. Imagine seeing your sons getting slaughtered before your eyes. That's what we're witnessing now. Children getting shot in schools. Matter of fact, the recent mass shooting, the parents watched their children getting shot down while the police stood outside. You can't imagine watching your son or daughter get shot down. And then after that, you're blinded. Your eyes get put out. That's the last thing that you saw was your sons being slaughtered. That's torture right there. So what King Zedekiah got, he deserved because he made the wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He did not trust in Yah. He did not follow the path that his father, King David, followed, because King David was in the same situation as King Zedekiah. No different. He's a king. All these pressures come upon you when you're king. You got nations that want to kill you. You got enemy within inside your own nation that want to kill you, and you have to deal with that as a king. King David dealt with it with humility. King Zedekiah, he was caught up on vanity. What the people going to say? The people going to mock me. He worried about the people that's going to mock him in the Chaldean captivity, as opposed to what his wives and his children say. And lo and behold, his children got slaughtered right before his eyes. So what happened to his wife? Yes.
And also remember 11, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave an order concerning Jeremiah to his queen. Isn't that something?
The king.
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you.
I said Nebuchadnezzar gave an order to concerning Jeremiah. You have to do that. He could kill Jeremiah too. He took over the kingdom of Judah, or Yehuda, and he told his guard, his chief, take him and look after him. And that's something the enemy says, take him and look after him and do no harm.
So everything that he prophesied came true, right? The poor
mm-hmm.
people of the land, they didn't go into captivity. The Most High gave them peace. Why? Because they followed Yah's instruction.
Uh-huh.
Jeremiah the prophet, he did what Yah told him to do. He went through all that torture that his own people put on him. And guess what? He got comfort in the end. Not so much comfort because he saw his people going into captivity, which is why he wrote Lamentations. See, because this is where Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, come in. He saw the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, but no harm came to him. So he was able to write the book of Lamentations. But he knew what Yah was telling him. We have to follow what our Creator is telling us. We have to acknowledge what we've done and accept the punishment that he's about to put on us, but we want to live. Because the punishment is not death. Just take the punishment. When the time is up, Yah will restore you. And that's the message for today. Our time is up, but are you going to turn and listen to the Most High? Are you going to be rebellious and do the same thing you've been doing, which is why I punished you in the first place? Are you going to remain in that punishment? We don't want to remain in the punishment. We want to be obedient. And the fact that the Most High told King Zedekiah, you're going to be humiliated. Accept your humiliation. And we too proud to accept humiliation. So he got the worst of all worlds. Not only was he humiliated, it cost him his family.
Mm-hmm. To watch your own son die in front of you? That's a heck of a thing.
It cost him his eyesight.
He tried to be sneaky and run. He tried to sneak out.
Mm-hmm.
You sneaking out? No, y'all don't get you. There's no sneaking out. You can't escape. So when the Babylonians came, like the prophet Jeremiah who told him, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's in your city. Now what you going to do? You going to try to run and escape? It's too late. They got you. Just like it was prophesied. I'm sure all that was turning over in his brain. Like, damn, I should have listened to the prophet. It's too late then. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? The prophets are speaking to us today. Are we going to be like King Zedekiah and say, damn, I should have listened to the prophets? Because not only was their message to him, their message is to us in his captivity. Right? Am I right or wrong?
Exactly.
So we ain't listening. We going to fall into the same category as King Zedekiah. And who do we have to blame? Who do we have to blame?
Ourselves.
We have to blame ourselves. We didn't make the right choice. We refused to see. We refused to listen. We refused to obey. We refused to humble ourselves because we were leaning on our own understanding. Just like King Zedekiah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are the people going to say? They're going to mock me. No, you're going to get mocked, Pop, whether it's by them or whether it's by your wives and your children. Somebody going to mock you. Accept the mocking. You need a mocker because you've been doing wickedness. Acknowledge your wickedness like your father, King David, because he knew he was wicked. He said, my iniquities are more than the hairs on my head. But he had the courage and the holy boldness to acknowledge it. King Zedekiah did not. Do we? You trying to hide your sin from Yah? Can't do it. Yah know your sin. And he's speaking to us through the prophets. Repent. Turn back. Return to me. Gather yourself. If you don't gather yourself, I'm going to gather you. And I'll put the judgment down on you. And based on your choice, because I put the choice of life and death before you, you chosen death. Nobody forced you. You chosen. King Zedekiah chose his destiny, didn't he?
Right.
You can't escape the word of the Most High. We can't, and neither can King Zedekiah. So we need to know our history. You're not going to escape the word of the Most High. What he said goes. It's going to happen. Guess what? Just like he said it's going to happen.
Right.
All right. Well, and that's fact. Godrea, if no one else has any more comments and you're ready to proceed to Psalms 39, I'll get up.
Yes, sir. Thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and enlightenment. We understand what this creation is all about as Yah's creation. Hopefully more than we understood yesterday, the day before, what we've been taught. So here we are in Psalms 39. And the thing about the Psalms, they don't put it in chronological order, right? So at what point in time did King David compose this song that he wrote? And for me, I think it's early in his campaign as a young man in the nation of Israel. And I'm going to tell you why as we go. So all praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for our King, King David, the anointed one of Yah. We ask that Yah bless his soul, that he restore his soul, that he gives strength and power by his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to his people. Psalms 39. King David, I said, I will watch my ways so that I don't sin with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. My sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. I spoke with my tongue. Yeah, show me my end. What is the measure of my days? Let me know how frail I am. Behold, you have made my days a hand's width. My lifetime is nothing before you. Surely, every man stands as a breath. So my summation of this first paragraph of this chapter is that King David is a young man in the courts of King Saul. And he has to hold his tongue because he's in the presence of his king. King Saul is a wicked man trying to kill him because he's envious and jealous of him. And inside of King David, he's saying, my heart is stirred. While I meditate, a fire is burning inside of me. And he knows he has the power to kill his king, but he knows his king is Yah's anointed. So he's trying to connect with Yah to contain himself from his wicked people that's around him. What did he say? Yah, show me my end. What is the measure of my days? Let me know how frail I am. King Saul throwing spears and daggers at him. Like, am I going to die early in my life? Behold, you have made my days a hand's width. My lifetime is as nothing before you. It's true. We live to be 70, 80, 90, sometimes 100. Yah is eternal. He's been around since creation. King David says, surely every man stands as a breath. And I'm sure he's looking at King Saul. Surely every man walks like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. So everything he saw in the palace of King Saul, he's like, yo, you a man. You ain't nothing but a breath. And your life is like a shadow. But you busy yourself because you vain. You caught up in yourself. he heaps up and does not know who shall gather. So, yeah, you gather all these riches, all this wealth. You're trying to create a legacy, trying to, you know, create some kind of dynasty for your family. And you're heaping all this stuff up, but you don't know who's going to gather it after you die. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? What is King David waiting for? My hope is in you. He's waiting for Yah. His hope is in Yah. Deliver me from all my transgressions. He's not focused on people outside of him. He's worried about how pure he is before the eyes of the Most High. Deliver me from all my transgressions. And do we need to be delivered from our transgressions? Because some of our transgressions might kill us before Yah. Right? Because Yah will kill you if you worship idol. Yah will kill you if you sleep with another man's wife. Yah will kill you if you kill a brother. You got blood in your head. Right? Deliver me from my transgressions. Don't make me a reproach of the foolish. Which King Saul was. King Saul made himself a reproach. And he had everything before him. And King David is watching this. He says, don't do that to me, please. I was mute while he's watching King Saul. No, I ain't going to say nothing. I did not open my mouth because you did it. What did Yah do? He put him in the position to see what King Saul was doing as an example of what to do and what not to do, like my mother taught me. Remove your scourge away from me. He's trying to clean himself before he becomes king. I am overcome by the blow of your hand, because Yah will knock you down when you do wickedness and iniquity right in front of his eyes. When you rebuke and correct man for iniquity, you consume his wealth like a moth. Yeah, so we envious and jealous of universal white racial supremacy because they have power of the earth. But what does it say? Yah rebukes and corrects man for iniquity. We know these nations got to be corrected and rebuked for their iniquity. What happens? Their wealth is consumed like a moth. Surely, every man is but a breath. And that's what we depend on every day, right? You take that for granted. How many breaths did you take in today? And you hope it's still there tomorrow. Hear my prayer, Yah. And get into my cry. So King David was always humble, crying out to Yah. Do we do the same thing? Or we crying out to people like they're going to help us? King David crying out to Yah each and every time. I ain't worried about man. My mother can't help me. My father can't help me. Sister, brother, cousin, uncle. Nah, I'm crying out to Yah. Don't be silent to my tears. You got to cry out to Yah. For I am a stranger with you. Are you a stranger with Yah? Do you know Yah? Does Yah know you? He should. And if not, you're a stranger with Yah. And King David, with all his prayers, all his songs, he still felt like he was a stranger with Yah. A foreigner, as all my fathers were, the whole nation, right? Except for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So about all of us. Oh, spare me. I may recover strength before I go away and exist no more. So we hear a young King David trying to get his life corrected as he grows. So he wants Yah to correct him, to rebuke him, to guide his steps, so he doesn't become like King Saul. So he will know the way that is right and pleasing in Yah's eyesight before Yah takes him out and sends him to Sheol because he's leaning to his own understanding. So in this prayer, we see the complete humility of our king, King David, as a young man. Seeing what he saw, and he's describing, I keep my mouth shut when I see the wicked and they have power over me. I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to walk in a different path. How many of us could say that? All praise to the Holy One of Israel for the mindset of King David, and we all need to get in the same path that he was on. Praise God.
No. We want to argue and fuss and fight with the wicked. And they ain't got a leg to stand on. King Dog, yeah, that's why we always suggest Cottrell at the end of every show. Pray to the Most High for heart like and mind like King Dog, because the Most High said King Dog was a man after my own heart. That's a suggestion for and apply to you. That's the kind of heart you want to be, the heart you want to have before the Most High. Not arrogant, not foolhardy, not suicidal, but humble and waiting on your answers from the Most High. Instead of, as Cottrell said, I agree with him, from your mother, brother, sister, or any other for that matter. And you don't need a co-signer with the Most High, okay? If you're looking for co-signers, you're in the wrong relationship with the Creator. You don't need a co-signer with the Most High. Do good, do what the Most High tell you. Everything else is going to work out in your benefit. May not seem like it, but trust in it. Praise and bless his holy name.
I would say that the Most High knows us better than our mothers and fathers know us.
Exactly.
The Most High knows all the secret things that we do. Your mother and father don't know all the secret things that you do. I know my mother and father ain't know all the secret things I did. But Yah knows it, right?
Exactly.
He knew us way before he put us in our mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
So who's more important, your mother or father or Yah?
Yeah.
King David lets you know, I cry out to who? Not my mother, my father. I cry out to Yah. And you're talking about a mighty man. You're talking about a king that lets you know. You're talking about sensitivity. Ralph Tresvant. Sing that song. Sensitivity.
Yeah. I don't think Ralph's solo was a very it didn't stay very long, but it was a nice song, but it didn't stay very long.
King David was a sensitive man.
He was
in the spiritual realm.
Exactly.
He had that connection with the Most High. That's why he was so successful. I'm letting you know, y'all. I ain't nothing before you. I'm dust. I'm crying out to you. You are my help. You my shield. You my refuge. You are my salvation. I trust in you. I hope in you. Everything was on y'all. It's like, this is what men do to women today.
Exactly.
Right?
Can I read?
You're pointing your emotions in the wrong direction, brother.
Yeah.
It should be to y'all.
If I may, Cottrell, let me reread it, if you don't mind, right back to him. Let me give a redundancy, a double whammy. And y'all listen up. Cottrell, just read. I'm going to do a double whammy for you. Because it's a very serious subject matter. The chief musician, Yehudatham, a psalm of King David. I said, I will guard my ways. Least I sin with my tongue. A lot of y'all need to watch y'all mouth. See, y'all just let y'all mouth go old fast free all over the place. King David said, guard your tongue. Watch what you say. Especially in front of your enemies where you're hidden deep behind enemy lines. Okay.
And then his son King Solomon pick up on it, because he got so much to say about life and death is in the power of the tongue in Proverbs.
Didn't he though?
Oh yeah.
Some of us need to watch our tongue. And I will guard my ways. I will restrain my mouth with a mother. We need to mother some of our mouths. All of us need to mother our mouths. While the wicked are before me. Hey, we standing right in food book. They're talking all kind of nonsense. On food book, all kind of madness. You know,
talking loud. Ain't saying nothing.
Hey, Joe, pick it up. Talking loud. Ain't saying nothing. Saying nothing. We write our own book on social media that said anything that we want to come out of our mouth. King Dawson, I was me. I ain't saying nothing in front of my enemy. I ain't putting on no show for them. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke. It was a time and place for running your mouth off. I spoke with my tongue. Yah, make me do a self-examination.
Who he's speaking to? Who he's speaking to?
He's musing. He's speaking to himself.
He's speaking to the Most High.
He ain't talking to man. He talking to the Most High.
Right.
Then he spoke. Who he speaking to? He's speaking to the Most High.
Good point. Yah, as Kadriel alluded to, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? That I may know how I ain't nothing, how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a half breath. It's here today, gone tomorrow. My age is
So Yamsu.
Yes.
Even our enemies talking about being like David who conquered the giant, David and Goliath. They use that phrase all the time, right? This is David and Goliath situation. Our king is like, I ain't nothing.
He laughs. But here it shows he's really asking to remain humble, even though he's king. Help me to remain humble. Know my limitations. Know my friends.
And he killed that damn giant, didn't he?
You better, and it wasn't a green giant. Oh, oh, oh. It wasn't him. And he said, certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. You hear today, go tomorrow. And that's how you all see your life as, he says, Sheila. Surely every man walk about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves. Man, you're doing all this and that. It is vanity. You join these Republican Party, Democratic Party, Independent Party, Black Lives Party, the LBGTQ, XYZ trying to get at you and me party. And so ain't none of that going to do you any good. It's vanity. He's some riches, just like Donald J. Trump and just like Vladimir Putin and Katya lose too. They heaping up for this riches, but they ain't going to do them. And does not know who would gather them. And now, Elohim, what do I waste up? And he says, he answers the question. It's rhetorical. My hope is in you. That's what I'm waiting for. Deliver me from all my transgressions. That's what I'm waiting for. Do not make me the reproach of foolish. That's what I'm waiting for. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. You taught me how to keep my mouth closed. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. And that universal white race supremacist is not doing this to you. The Most High is using them as a tool to consume you by the blow of his hand. And when with rebuke, you correct man from iniquity. You have to rebuke people to correct people. Now, I ain't down my name calling them. And this and that and the other, but you got to set them right according to coach. And it's going to do, it's going to sting. But it will correct a man or a woman who wants to be corrected from inequity. The word of Yah. You make it.
So.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Would you say that King David set the proper mold for all the kings of Judah?
Yeah, he said, not only all the kings of Yehuda, I mean, everybody in the land should be told.
Exactly. Starting with the king.
Exactly.
So every king, starting with King Solomon, should have been following the same pattern of their father, King David, right?
Yeah, because they knew how successful he was as a king, how close he was with the Elohim. Those should have been so precious rubies that they should have picked up early. Well, how he ruled a whole nation? And we just got three tribes. Well, how do he do with Yah? Well, I read this. He tore his clothes, went sackcloth and everything, and he went to the Most. Did he go to his mama, daddy, brother? No, he didn't say none of that. Did he look for a co-signer? No, he didn't say none of that. He said he went to Yah.
If the kings of Judah had to follow his pattern, will we be in captivity right now?
I think not. You better believe that, brother. And Yah talks about people that put their trust in just their physical appearances. For women and men, here today, gone tomorrow. And the king make references. He make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor. Here today, going tomorrow, so to speak. Hear my prayer, oh Yah. He didn't say mama, daddy, co-signer. He said, hear my prayer, oh Yah, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, and I'm humble. I'm a sensitive kind of fellow, for I'm a stranger with you, unless we all are. A sojourner, as all my fathers were. He knew that. This relationship is tentative. It's based upon my actions, my qualification. I'm just a sojourner, as my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain my strength. If the Most High gazing on you, oh, man. King Dawson said, hey, don't look at me like that, because it's going to make me weak. He said, so I need to regret, don't look at me like that, like I'm in the wrong, if I am wrong. That's why I'm trying to get away from my iniquity. So you want me gazing at me with this intense animosity. You don't want y'all gazing at you. It'll take the strength from you. King Dawson alluded to it. He must knew. Before I go away and no more, and before, don't keep looking at me like that. I'm going to get rid of these iniquities, because I don't want you looking at me with all this animosity before I go away here, because I want to go away on a codified right relationship with you. I want to be humble. I want to have my mind right. I want to do right. I want to learn how to keep my mouth. I need to learn how to speak when I need to speak, and I don't need to be on food books showing everybody I'm a fool either.
And you just described the formula of a mighty man.
Exactly.
So exactly. People go to universal white racism institutions of higher learning.
Right.
Try to get their mental strong or their professional strong. People go to gyms, try to get their physical strong. We got the mental, the spiritual strength right here. What made King David strong? What was it that made him a mighty man?
He was super humble.
You know without getting too late, because like you said now, that you need that qualification. But besides that, King David, he had that direct communication with Yah, whereas so many of others have failed. If you lose that connection with Yah, they just go on like backsliding, go on doing everything else. You got to come back. You got to repent, just like you said. But King David, every time he kept that line of communication open with Yah through everything. And a lot of people don't do that and don't see that. That's why I just try to say, pray it up and keep the line of communication open with Yah. And if my line falls down, I hurry up and correct it and ask for forgiveness. So that's what I'm seeing too also.
I agree.
So King David speaks of his frailty, but we speak of him as a mighty man because he slayed the giant and he killed thousands, they say 10,000s of his enemies. But in his mind, it ain't nothing but Yah. I got all this victory, all this might, all this strength, all this fame, all this glory. If it don't be for Yah, I wouldn't have none of it.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And that's the secret of our strength. Without Yah, we won't have nothing because our enemy rules over us. They're stronger and mightier than we are. And our strength, our secret strength, is our spiritual strength. Those 35 years of a spiritual bank account that Sister Yehudi got with Yah, that's important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether she realizes it or not.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to build your spiritual bank account. Yah has to know you. You have to go directly to him. There is no intercessor. You don't need a priest. You don't need a prophet. You don't need a more race. You need to go direct, connect with your creator who made you.
That's it.
And that's what King David is showing us. King David ain't run to the prophets. He didn't run to the priest, the high priest. No.
We're going
directly to you. You know me. And if I'm wrong, tell me.
Brother Carter, not one time that I can recall where King David never went to Yah before anything. He always connected with Yah, right?
Exactly. In all his battles, in all his fights,
his fights with King Saul, his battles with the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Philistines. It's like, nah, we're not moving until Yah tells us to move.
That's like you said. They got to keep that line open with Yah. Without them, we are nothing. We are never going to be nothing without staying connected and doing what Yah tells us to do. Ooh-wee, yeah.
So the beauty of King David is he shows us where we can get strength and where he got his strength from. When he get his strength, he's showing you. I cry to the Most High. I ain't afraid to say it. I cry out to the Most High. When I'm in trouble, that's the first thing I do. Soon, I kept my mouth shut to mankind, the wicked that's around me. But as soon as I made a declaration, it was straight to Yah. Right?
Yes,
he's not talking to people. He's appealing to the Most High. And he's keeping quiet with people. I keep my mouth shut when I'm around the wicked.
That's another thing. He kept his mouth shut and take it straight to Yah. That's the problem that a lot of us people we have today. Instead of taking our problems to Yah, like you said, they putting gossip and putting it on Facebook, talking about one another. If you got a problem, if you hurt by a problem or something, Facebook and none of them can help you. Just like you said, take it to Yah, straight to Yah, and keep your mouth shut. I love that.
So in his prayer, what is King David talking about? He knew his king, who had power and authority over the whole land, over everybody in the land, he can't speak out against the king because he's a subject to the king. So he keeps his mouth shut and takes his problems to the Most High. Because he could have been back and forth with King Saul. Why are you trying to kill me? I'm trying to defend the nation. I'm killing our enemy. You got me on the battlefield as your soldier. Why are you trying to kill me? He could have threw that in his face. Like, I'll kill you. You try to kill me. I'm a warrior. I killed the giant. You ain't nothing. You didn't want to face the giant. King David could have said all that to King Saul, but he kept his mouth shut, didn't he?
Yes, indeed.
He could have said, I went out there and killed Goliath. You didn't. You try to put your armor on me, King, and you out here trying to kill me. But that wasn't King David. No, he cried out to Yah. Why is this man trying to kill me? I'm his brother. I'm serving him. I'm not going to say nothing to him because of his wickedness. Protect me for my iniquity because I don't want to be nothing like him. Yeah, so these examples are before us. And like King David, we got to make the right choice. Who you choosing, man over Yah or Yah over man? You see, every time I came, he cried out to Yah. He chose Yah over man every time. And all these kings that we're reading about, King Zedekiah, King Jehoiakim, and all the other kings of Judah, the kings of Israel, they didn't follow the pattern of King David, not even King Solomon. So we're blessed because to have this understanding of our past makes us better. We know what our people did, how vain they were, how obstinate, how they refused to listen, to our Creator. We're not going to do that, are we? We're not going to be like them. And Yah shows you. This is what happens when you don't listen to me, King Zedekiah. I forewarned you, and you didn't listen. And the consequences I told you that were coming, now they're upon you. It is too late to try to change now. And we got the same warning as King Zedekiah. Y'all in captivity, Israel, return to me, gather yourselves together, seek me while I can be found, humble yourselves. So many commands y'all have given us to get out of this captivity. And we better know every command and follow them. Just not knowing them is not good enough, but following them, obeying them, because Israel had a better way. The kings of the Kai had to listen. The people had to listen. The princes had to listen. They wouldn't have been taken out, them or their families. Most I took them out and their families.
So it's not just you, it's your family too.
Alrighty. Cartrell, Sajuri, Susavia, it's been a great session about the Most High, a great study session. We pray not only that they take these studies and muse over them, but burn them at night. Go back over them. We certainly encourage you to go back over them. As a matter of fact, we ask you to get you, pray for the Most High to give you a heart to like King Darwin. It will help facilitate your studies and your humbleness and help keep your mind right, because a bunch of us, we are a hot mess. Only thing we want to do is argue. Argue with a stop sign. Stop sign, they say, number stop. We stand up there arguing. So learn how to be humble like King Darwin. Learn how to know when somebody says, ask you to stand back, stand back. And learn when you need to speak. Everybody just want to talk just for the sake of talking. And just like Cartrell said, talking loud and saying nothing. That being said, Cartrell, Sister Hootie, Sister Avia, what is your closing remarks?
Shalom and good night. And as always, they pray to keep that communication line open with you.
Praise Yah. Praise Yah.
If you want to be like the prophet Yirmiyahu and the Ethiopian Cushite, Ebed Melech, you better listen to the word of Yah, because disaster is all around us, but there is a way out. So we're going to cry out to the Most High in our times of trouble, like our King David, and pray and hope that the Most High hears our words and forgives us for our transgressions, our iniquities, our hard-headedness and nakedness. We pray that he guides our steps. So visit the website. We're trying to gather ourselves as a nation, YahWillGather.us. Time is now. Listen now. Don't wait till later, because later may be too late. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Total Rabbi, for all this wealth of information, and I hope the listeners will go and check it out for yourself. You read it. Put it in your life. Be surprised. And remember, you never know who you come across when you're entertaining. So be patient. Be courteous to everyone you meet. On that note, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. And be safe. Shalom.
Praise Yah. Shalom. Well, y'all, here's how we ought to be. And this song made reference to it. And a lot of us that don't understand the conception of a nation, this is about the pursuit of individual splendor. Don't understand the mind of a king, just like the mind of King Dawid. Truly, his interest was the interest of a unified nation, a nation codified under Yah. A lot of us think it's all about me. I'm something special. And surely you are, but not according to the High the Most High sees. That being said, we love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. We are one. Mm-hmm.